Palmetto Mornings on WRHI and CN2.
Morning to you. It's 8:41 here on Palmetto Mornings. We are looking at 59 degrees, and you've landed here on Palmetto Mornings, your home for news, talk, sports, and fun. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Ashley Lang.
And you can watch us on CN2 and Corporium Cable Channel 102.
Sorry.
That's okay.
You sure?
The radio. I know.
Sorry. Was that me or you? I don't know.
It does come across as a question now that you say that, Tyler. You're also listening to us on the radio, the app, and online. We have in the studio Representative Brandon Guffey, and good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thank y'all for having me on.
Well, you're always generous with your time on Fridays to come here and kind of give us an update about what's going on in Columbia. But this morning, we're going to focus on the news. Justice for your son, Gavin. And of course, we want to bring folks up to speed. We now know, and we have a name and a face for the individual responsible for Gavin's death.
Yes. That was the hardest thing is seeing him for the first time.
I wanted to get your reaction to ask you, have you seen him? Did you have any conversation with him? What was that interaction like?
I don't think they're going to let me in the same room with him without all those U.S. Marshals. But no, I mean, first time seeing him, you know, my wife didn't want to go in the room. My son didn't go in the room. But I expressed to my wife how important it was for the judge to see us as a family hurt. And I know I'm the one that's always out there. But her pain surpasses mine. Nothing stronger than a mother's love for a child. So as soon as he came in, I think I cracked four molars, gritting my teeth. But whenever the emotions hit her, my focus became on trying to console her. Now, he didn't look up, so there wasn't any eye contact or anything of that nature. Everything kind of seemed like a dream because it happened so fast.
Did you ever feel like you were ever going to see this day?
Yes.
Okay.
I felt confident since the beginning. Before we knew it was sextortion, you know, I sat with local law enforcement, and of course, SLED comes in right away, and luckily we were heavily involved, and even Sheriff Breeden, before he was sheriff, we were friends beforehand. He spent many days over there, and you know, we would have conversations about how we're moving forward, and the agent that was on the case. And Sheriff Tolson helping out with the mental health aspect. I mean, I felt support from the day one, and they continued to keep me updated. And that's what allowed me to focus on what I was focusing on because I had the faith that our local law enforcement and our U.S. attorney were going to be able to get this accomplished.
Does this happen very often? I mean, I would say that
no.
Maybe you are fortunate.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to sound disrespectful or insensitive, but that you actually did get to see that justice was served and you did get to face him and see that what you promised you were going to do, which was find this person.
Yeah, I would agree. And a lot of that comes from the support. Mm. And I can sit here, you know, everyone's congratulating me, but the only thing I could do is keep my mouth shut, stay out of the way, and at the same time be vocal to bring awareness to the issue. But the amount of community support, law enforcement, state support, you know, we are very blessed to have all of that. Mm-hmm. But that allowed me to be who I was going to be. Mm-hmm. And it does make you hurt for the families that don't have that support or that might not ever find out who was responsible.
How did they find this guy, Brandon?
Shortly after Gavin died, I think before we even got to bury him, my 14-year-old cousin began to get extorted by him. Just because he shared the same last name. And then they were trying to extort my 16-year-old son. And law enforcement picked up the chat from there and was able to continue the chat, which I'm assuming led to more information. And then they continue to try to extort me, which gives them more information. So it was a long process of tracking down. But of course, with VPNs and everything else, once you see that you're going into international territory, you have to look at things like, do we have extradition treaties? Are we able to work through this? And there were two other cases with involving sextortion that the person has, that someone has been extradited from Nigeria. And those are the only two extraditions that I know of out of Nigeria. But those charges were a lot less. And during this process, the one thing I was asked was to sign that I would not seek death penalty. And so with the charges being harsh, I'm sure that played a role in it taking a little bit longer. But you know, closed case, so you can't really talk about it. But you didn't really feel comfortable until feet were on U.S. soil. Anything could happen. I mean, just north of Lagos, Niger, I think it was Niger that fell. So, you know, you got the geopolitical scale, too, of what could happen that could cause all of this to change in a rapid fashion. So my focus was ensuring that having that trust with them, and I 100% had trust in law enforcement to be able to handle it.
Do you know if he has had other victims?
They read in court. I think it was I have to be careful on what I say and what I don't say, because some things were redacted. But I think they read in court that there was 8 other accounts on there at that time. I don't know if that resulted in any deaths or not. But, you know, Lagos, Nigeria is a hot spot for these scams due to a group called the Yahoo Boys. And the Yahoo Boys began to share videos, which is what has taught our prisons here in the U.S., our state prisons, and they have begun to commit these scams too. And as they get out, that's turned into street crime. And it's just growing so rapidly. I spoke from the well this week. One of the stats that blows me away is NCMEC in, I think it's 2021, had just a couple hundred cases of sexual online exploitation, but just last year it was over 3 million. That's one organization.
Oh my gosh.
This is so prevalent. And then if you, through the polls, 1 out of 17 teens now have said that they have been exploited. That's one in every middle school, every high school class. And just 2 years ago, I didn't know what this was.
And for our audience, sextortion is a new word that's been introduced into our vocabulary. What is it exactly? What are the signs? Because I know the big part of your mission now is protecting families.
Yes. It's very difficult to explain, but it's essentially blackmail. So someone pretends to be someone else, earns trust, and gets pictures. And everyone says, well, this will take a long time. My son was contacted at midnight on July 27th, and by 1:40 a.m. he had taken his life. Many of the other teens that are involved, this can be a 20-minute process. Some of them it's a week long, some of them it's a month long. But for the most part, this is a rapid process because they realize the trouble that they're in right away and trying to hide that shame. There are three different types of sextortion. So it started off as just traditional sextortion, where they were convincing girls to send images. And then they would say, if you don't send me more images, then I'm going to share this. They would take those images, use them against teenage boys. Teenage boys became the financial side of sextortion. If you don't send me money, then I'm going to share these. And now we've seen AI being used for sextortion, where the kids don't even send photos. They just threaten that they're going to tell everybody that you sent photos, and they're going to share it all on social media, and it's going to ruin their reputation. And now we have sadistic sextortion, which is taking things to a whole nother level with these people that want to control someone. There has been a case where they convinced a girl to begin cutting herself live on video just so they could watch it. That turned into carving their screen name in her, and then her slitting her wrist in the bathtub live on video just for these sick people to be able to see this. And it's more about control, and that's the scary thing. The best tool, so I've worked a lot with the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children, and the best tool, the easiest explanation, there's an interactive video called No Escape Room. I don't remember if it's .org or .com, but it's an interactive video. It's about 7 minutes long. It will show a parent how you're not aware whenever your child's being extorted. It will show a teen on how quick and easy it is to get extorted. And it just shows how quickly a life can change over a simple contact online.
We have a film crew that's here in the studio with us right now, and you are filming various documentaries.
Yes.
Are they telling Gavin's story, your fight to help educate and end sex torsion? What do you hope will come from being part of these documentaries?
The advantage of, I often say, God blessed me with one thing, and that's a big mouth. So whenever this happened, you know, sextortion was not on anyone's radar. And whenever we started speaking about it, now it's becoming continuous news, not just me, but the other brave parents that have stood up and said, look, I don't want this to happen to another child. Every type of filming that we're doing is just about raising that awareness. I say often, I couldn't save Gavin. But if I can save someone else from feeling the way that Gavin did, that's the most important thing. Sorry, getting choked up, but that's the focus. That's I don't want another parent to feel the way that we felt. And I certainly don't want another child. And every time that a child dies, it's been over 40 now since Gavin. And those are just the public ones. I feel like I'm failing. So my goal is to get that awareness out so we can make sure that the teens know that tomorrow needs you, and the mistakes that you make don't make you who you are. They help define who you will become. And we've got to get back to extending grace to one another in society, not just on the teenage level. But I feel like we failed an entire generation, and they were the guinea pigs through social media. And now we as the adults have to step up and handle it a different way.
And sadly, you would think this would be a situation where everyone's on board. Yes, what can we do? And like everything else, you get some pushback. And that's a whole nother discussion for a whole nother day. But, you know, it gives us an opportunity to catch up with you since this arrest. And again, justice for Gavin.
I mean, y'all have been great since day one. Y'all have told me anytime you want to come on, anytime you want to say anything. And without having media partners and support, you can't get the word out. You know, just this past week, the amount of calls I would get from teens have calmed down, because there for a while I was getting two calls a day for a good year, year and a half. But since the media has come out, I've gotten calls from all over the world. But just within the state of South Carolina, I've helped four teens. But the good news is it used to be the teens that would call me. Now the parents are calling me with the teen, which means the teens are brave enough to go to their parent to begin with.
Which is half the battle, which is what you talk to them about. Victory,
yeah. Wow. I love it whenever a parent calls, because that means the teen was brave enough to go to the parent to begin with.
Well, of course, this is a discussion we'll continue to have here at the local level, the state level, and across the world, really.
Yes.
Well, we appreciate the update, Representative Brandon Guffey. We always enjoy having you here in the studio, and we will continue to follow your path. So thank you so much.
Thank you.